Chapter 2. What is the price of a mistake? At the age of 15, I failed the subject of English. I failed English because I could not write, or I should say, my English teacher did not like what I wrote about, and my spelling was horrible. That meant I would have to repeat my sophomore year. The emotional pain and embarrassment came from many fronts. First of all, my dad was the superintendent of education for the island of Hawaii and in charge of over 40 schools. There was snickering and laughter throughout the halls of education as the word spread from school to school that the boss's son was an academic failure. Second, failing meant that I was going to join my younger sister's class. And third, it meant I would not receive my athletic letter for playing varsity football, the sport for which I had played my heart out. The day I received my report card and saw the F for English, I went behind the building that housed the chemistry lab to be alone. I sat down on the cold concrete slab, pulled my knees up to my chest, pushed my back up against the wooden building, and began to cry. I had been expecting this F for a few months, but seeing it on paper brought out all the emotions suddenly and uncontrollably. I sat alone behind the lab building for over an hour. The good news was that my best friend Mike, Rich Dad's son, had also received an F. It wasn't good that he failed too, but it was good that I at least had some company to go along with my misery. I waved to him as he headed across the campus to catch his ride home, but all he did was shake his head and kept on walking. That evening, after my siblings had gone to bed, I told my mom and dad that I had failed English and that I would have to repeat my sophomore year of high school. At that time, the educational system had a policy requiring a student failing either English or social studies to repeat the entire year. My dad, who ran the educational system of the island, was quite familiar with the policy. While they had expected this news, the confirmation of my failure was still a difficult reality. My dad sat quietly and nodded. His face was expressionless. My mom, on the other hand, was having much more difficulty. I could see the emotions on her face, emotions that went from sadness to anger. Turning to my dad, she said, "What's going to happen now? Will he be held back?" All my dad would say in reply was, "That's the policy, but before I make any decision, I'll look into the matter." For the next few days, my dad did look into the matter. My dad discovered that out of my class of 32, the teacher had failed 15 of us. The teacher had given D's to 8 students. One student had an A, 4 had B's, the rest had C's. With such a high failure rate, my dad stepped in. He did not step in as my father, but as the superintendent of education. His first step was to order the principal of the school to open a formal investigation. The investigation began with interviews of the students in the class. The investigation ended with the teacher being transferred to another school and a special summer school offered to students who wanted an opportunity to improve their grades. I spent 3 weeks that summer working my way up to a D in English and was able to move on to the 11th grade with the rest of my class. My dad found that there were rights and wrongs with both the students and the teacher. What disturbed my dad was that most of those who failed were the top students in the sophomore class. Most of us were on track to go on to college. So rather than take a side, he came home and said to me, "Take this academic failure as a very important lesson in your life. You can learn a lot, or you can learn a little from this incident. You can be angry, blame the teacher, and hold a grudge, or you can look at your own behavior and learn more about yourself and grow from the experience. I don't think the teacher should have awarded so many failing marks, but I do think you and your friends need to become better students. I hope both the students and the teacher grow from this experience." I must admit that I did hold a grudge. I still don't like the teacher, and I hated going to school after that. I never liked being told to study subjects I was not interested in or knew I would never use when school was over. Although the emotional scars were deep, I did buckle down a little more, my attitude changed, my study habits improved, and I graduated from high school on schedule. I was also one of 2 students awarded a congressional appointment to the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy, from which I graduated in 1969 with a Bachelor of Science degree. At the academy, I overcame my fear of writing and actually learned to enjoy it. Although I am still a poor writer technically, I thank Dr. A.A. Norton, who was my English teacher for 2 years at the academy, for helping me overcome my lack of self-confidence, my past fears, and my grudges. If not for Dr. Norton and Sharon Lecter, my partner and co-author, I doubt if I would have become a New York Times and Wall Street Journal best-selling author today. Most importantly, I took my dad's advice and made the best of a bad situation. Looking back, I can see how failing English and almost the 10th grade was a blessing in disguise. The incident caused me to buckle down and make a few corrections in my attitude and study habits. I realized that if I had not made those corrections in the 10th grade, I would surely have flunked out in college. His son's F in English from the same teacher disturbed Rich Dad. He was grateful that my dad intervened and set up a summer school program for us to make up our failing grades. Yet he used the experience to pass along a different lesson to Mike and me. "Our lives are ruined," I said. "What's the use?" added Mike. "We will never get ahead because of that one teacher. On top of that, we have to spend our summer in a classroom." Mike and I complained a lot after we failed English. In some ways, we felt our future, or at least our summer, had been taken away from us. We could see the so-called smart kids moving on, and we felt we were left behind. Many of our fellow classmates walked by us and snickered. A few called us losers. Occasionally, we heard behind our backs, "If you don't have good grades, you won't get into a good college." Or, "If you think high school English is hard, just wait till you get to college." We tried to handle the rude comments that are common among kids, and we tried to laugh it off. Yet deep down, it still hurt. The truth was that we did feel like failures, and we did feel that we were being left behind.